Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Musicals Taught Me Everything I Know. It is the show when we talk about musicals and the lessons that we learn from them, things that they teach us, and how awesome they are. My name is Miranda and I'll be your host today. Also at the table with me, my regulars,
Zane C. Weber,
Julie Eisentrager.
And we have a very special guest at the table who's here to talk about a musical that I love. And half of my audition repertoire comes from. But please feel free to introduce yourself.
Hello, I'm Maureen Bowra.
Hello, Maureen.
Fireworks go off. Bam. Glitter explodes.
Bam. Bam. I would love a glitter explosion every time somebody said my name.
Me too.
1,000 patrons and we'll organize glitter explosions for every
Excellent.
Guest.
You heard it here first.
Okay. Right. Yeah. I
thought you were going to say. As well as a rap from Zane.
Yeah. Obviously.
And a dance.
And the dance.
Yeah, all right.
The Necronomicon. We're going to keep bringing it up until we get enough patrons. It's ticking on, like one at a time. Anyway.
Right, let's get to know Maureen.
I'm sorry, what? Who's leading this episode?
You
is
are.
It you or is it me?
Lead
because
it faster.
I will get to know Maureen when I'm good and ready. Maureen, are you ready?
I am ready. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Let's begin.
For getting to know you. I love to sing the song. The people hate it, but it's fine. So our first question, which musical character would other people compare you to?
Do you know what? I would say Penny Pinkleton from Hairspray.
What a sweet choice. Yeah.
Totally.
That's a great pick.
Yes.
I think that is.
And you're wearing the glasses to go with the look, and I really appreciate that you've committed to that.
I actually need the glasses to see, but thank you for assuming it was a character choice.
Well, aren't glasses the character choice for us all, really? I choose to be a character who can see what they're doing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Which musical character would you like other people to compare you to?
Oh.
We're talking aspirations now.
Is it bad to say Jesus Christ Superstar?
I would like people to look at me and think, Jesus.
Yeah, that's exactly what I want.
The Messiah.
Oh, right, okay.
No.
We've gone with different inflection there.
I don't know. Do you know what? I'm actually pretty happy with Penny. I think that's great. I think if that's people great. See Penny, I'll go with that. You know, I'm a lovable, geeky dork.
You are lovable. I'll give you that.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, the jury's still out on geeky dork?
Yep.
All right, fair enough. Too cool for your own good.
Totally. Well, let's move on before it gets really awkward in here. What is your dream role?
I have so many. It's really difficult to choose, but I'll give you a couple of tops.
A short list.
How about that? Ulla from The Producers.
Ulla?
I'd love to play Ulla. Unfortunately, I don't think I'm quite tall enough.
Now Ulla dance?
Now Ulla dance.
Nice.
For sure. Also, having just seen Mean Girls, I'm desperate to play Regina George, totally, because that's so opposite to who I am. I think that would be great.
So, yeah.
And one more
Regina
on my list.
Regina and Penny Pinkleton, just like hanging out together.
I know I've already spoken about Superstar, but Judas would definitely be a dream role for me. I would love to do that.
It's a great sing.
Yeah.
And it fits so nicely into a female voice.
Absolutely does. Oh, show.
Yeah. Okay. We'll make it happen. What is your favorite Sondheim show?
Oh.
Rot roll. That's a thinker.
Ding, ding, ding,
Company.
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 A little bit of Company.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a good one.
Tradish or gender swapped?
Tradish.
Tradish.
No. But okay. not too fussed.
Hmm.
Bit of Bit of gender blind casting. Never heard anybody.
Whatever you get.
Interested to see. I hope they're going to film it.
I think so. The London production with the,
yeah. We'll have to wait until we get a few friends back from London to tell us exactly how it is. But let's move on to your go-to shower song, Maureen.
Oh, do you know what I love? They just keep moving the line from
nice.
Whoa, Smash. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
That's, I think just a lot of belt everything.
A lot of Smash can go down
Smash
a treat
everything.
In the shower.
Totally.
Smash it.
Oh. Smash it in the shower.
Yes.
What? I'm not sure about that.
Different podcast.
Oh, my. And if you'd like to hear more, no. okay, here we go. Are you prepared for the final question?
I am ready.
You have to delete a musical from existence. Mm. Cats is already dead.
Oh.
Like nine times over. It's
more
gone.
Than nine times over.
So.
Yep. Okay.
What are you taking out? Oh, see, it's hard.
Do you know?
Was your go-to going to be Cats?
You're definitely going to be Cats. Like,
poor
without
cats.
A doubt.
I'm really starting to feel sorry for Cats. I feel like I need to start sticking up.
I have
for
an
it.
Answer. Yes. Potentially controversial. Seal.
They're always
controversial. Definitely went to opening night last night. I'm going to say Jersey Boys.
Oh, my.
That's a first.
And
yeah. I wouldn't be so sad.
Oh, I would.
I heard that when it was here 7 years ago or whatever, everyone loved it. They said it was amazing, raved about it. This is maybe I shouldn't be saying this. What if people are going to hear it? Yeah, I just perhaps it's because I'm so tired from Sweet Charity that I was falling asleep. But perhaps it was the show. I don't know.
Are you a fan of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons?
I wouldn't say
music,
I'm a big fan.
Okay.
Like, I don't. Yeah. That's not my first choice.
I mean, I am, and I'm not a huge fan of the musical.
Yeah, the performers were excellent. Mm. They were giving it so much, but it was just, I think it's just the storyline and things like that. It just felt really dated. And I think I'm done with that.
I'm done with it.
I'm done with it. Which is usually my excuse for being done with any musical. I'm done with it, so.
So I guess it's dead now.
Everyone
it's
needs
dead.
To get on board.
Okay. Well, we'll look into that. Is it the jukebox musical thing?
No,
or
not
is it
at
just
all.
The way this one has been treated.
Yeah, I think it's this one.
Just didn't tick the boxes.
Yep.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a lot of talk when it first came out about the style of telling a story, how that has a lot of narration rather than actually showing the story happening. It's kind of like narration to get to the next song, which is fine because the songs themselves are pretty strong.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I just think it's a story we don't necessarily need to see again.
Fair enough.
We saw it. We saw it when it happened in real life with the actual, mind you, I wasn't alive. Now we know everything there is to know about Maureen and how much she loves Frankie Valli on the Four Seasons. Mm. Let's start talking Sweet Charity.
Yeah, Sweet, Sweet Charity.
Okay, so Maureen, you're here to tell us all about Sweet Charity,
yes.
The wonderful dance musical.
Mm.
Go. Do your thing.
And go.
And go. Please, tell.
Well, the musical was originally directed by and choreographed by the beautiful Bob Fosse, who is legend.
He is
in any dancer's eyes, I am sure. But it was actually based off a screenplay.
Ooh.
Yes, Knights of... Kaberia.
Kaberia? Kaberia.
Yeah.
The Knights of Kaberia. I don't do accents, Miranda. Sorry.
Definitely haven't seen that.
I don't want to be offensive.
And Knights with an N, not a KN. Because it kind of sounds like the Knights of Kaberia.
Yeah,
that sounds like a good story. Mm. We should do that.
I immediately got jousting stuck in my head.
Back to Sweet Charity.
Yes. It was a Fellini movie.
Yes,
right?
Correct. Yeah. Yes. Sweet Charity.
Concerning the romantic ups and downs of an ever hopeful prostitute.
Correct.
As long as she's ever hopeful.
And she is. She's so hopeful with a name like Charity Hope Valentine.
Yeah.
She's beautiful. She's always hopefully looking for love.
Yes.
Yes. That's it.
So music by Cy Coleman, lyrics by Dorothy Fields, and a book by Neil Simon. Is that Neil Simon?
What?
Like Neil Simon or a different Neil Simon?
Is there more than one Neil Simon
Neil
in the
Simon?
World?
What?
Must be.
Google it on your piece of paper, Miranda.
I can't click the link. It's printed. Click, click. I'm poking it and nothing is happening. So as you said, it was directed and choreographed by Bob Fosse, but it was a star vehicle
for Gwen
produced
Verdon.
For his wife at the time, yeah, Gwen Verdon.
That's right.
And a wonderful star vehicle it was for her. So she really set up the role as a dance role.
Yeah.
It wasn't really until the movie that I think it really became a comedic role.
Mm.
With Shirley MacLaine.
With Shirley MacLaine, yeah. Sure.
Well, she made it her own, and I think anyone who steps into that role of Charity, they have to absolutely bring their own experiences and everything onto it to create their own version of Charity.
Yeah, yeah.
But everyone looks back to the Gwen original. You have to, because it was built for her and around her. And I think so much of the original content and the jokes and the story and the humor, it's really lends itself to her performance.
Yeah.
So I have clicked on the Neil Simon link. What questions did you have about him?
Is it the Neil Simon?
Is it the Neil Simon?
As in the Neil Simon Theater, Neil Simon?
As in Neil Simon?
The recording artist? No. No, so this is the Broadway Neil Simon.
Yes.
The Neil Simon Theatre is named after him.
Yes.
So he wrote Sid Caesar's show of shows.
Oh, yes, that well-known
show. He worked with Carl Reiner, Mel Brooks and Selma Diamond on The Phil Silver Show. Then Broadway, Come Blow Your Own Horn, Barefoot in the Park, The Odd Couple, and he won a Tony Award for The Odd Couple, among other things.
So he does a lot of book for
playwriter,
plays.
Screenwriter and author.
Checks out.
Does indeed. Thank you, Clicky Link Zane.
He received more combined Oscar and Tony nominations than any other writer.
Congratulations, Neil. And I'm sorry that I confused you with a more recent recording artist. My bad. So Tony's awards reception.
For Sweet Charity.
Yeah.
Mm. Couldn't tell you what it was.
Well, there have been a lot of revivals.
Yes.
So the original Broadway production only won one, which was Best Choreography for Bob Fosse.
Of course.
But it was.
It had nominations across the board, though.
For nine. Yeah. So it was nominated for Best Musical. It was nominated for Composer, Leading Actress, Featured Actor, Featured Actress, Direction, Scenic Design, and Costume Design.
Mm.
In the 86 revival, it was nominated for 10 and won 5.
Mm.
So it won Best Revival, Best Featured Actor, Featured Actress, Costume Design, and Outstanding. Oh, sorry, nominated for 5, won 4. And sorry, then the Drama Desk Awards.
What year was that revival?
86.
So that was after the film.
Yes.
The film was in between.
Yep.
And the film was also directed and choreographed by Bob Fosse. So he continued with the show for a while. I think he also did the revival question mark. I know the choreography was recreated for the revival. But I don't know whether it was
by him, or
someone else.
He was not nominated, if that is your question.
How dare he? He should be nominated for everything all the time, even shows he doesn't work on.
Agreed.
Bob Fosse wins the Oscars.
So it was directed and choreographed by Fosse, though.
Cool.
Yep.
Well, let's move on if we all have nothing more to add about the darling that is Sweet Charity.
I can talk about how much I love it, which is a lot.
How much?
So much. And I think it's every dancer's kind of ultimate musical, because so many incredible roles for women, first of all, because it has obviously a female protagonist, which is fantastic, because so many musicals.
And unusual.
Yeah, absolutely. To follow a woman's journey and her story, not to mention all the other excellent roles like Nikki and Helene, Charity's two best friends.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, all the women of the Fandango Ballroom in Big Spender. So some excellent numbers there for women in particular.
Yeah. This is also the show that includes Fosse's best choreographic moment ever, I believe, in the Rich Man's Frog.
Frug, yes.
Frug.
Which move in particular? The ponytail?
The pony swirling, the wiping the fart away from the bottle.
Oh, really? Wafting a fart?
Waft the fart, yeah.
That's a favourite.
Oh,
and
my.
All those angles that Fosse now owns.
So interestingly, in our production with our fabulous choreographer, Mr. Dan Venz.
I thought you were going to say, with the fabulous choreographer, Maureen Bauer.
Myself.
No,
but I wouldn't put it past me to say that, that's for sure. No, Dan has really cleverly steered clear of the expected Fosse-esque choreography, because honestly, nobody does Fosse like Fosse. And I think that's the issue with a lot of these revivals and things, is that people are trying to recreate, I suppose, his essence and his style without any of his original flair and creativity. So I feel like what Dan has done is really cool, because it's his own style. It's brought it way into a more modern, fresh kind of style, with hints, little elements, little wafty farts of Fosse.
Just an occasional fart wafting.
I'm sure
Fosse would love that sentence.
He absolutely would.
As if Fosse... he didn't use that to describe it to his dancers, really.
Yeah.
I feel like that is what Robin Williams would have used to describe Fosse's choreography to the dancers.
Totally.
Wafty farts, wafty farts, wafty farts.
Starting to sound
Kristen
like a...
Or Wig.
Yeah.
I have actually had someone describe that move to get us to do it by saying, and waft the fart.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what it's called now. It's like the official choreographic term.
Yep.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break, and then we're going to talk about what happens in the story of Sweet Charity, that ever hopeful prostitute. I mean, dance hall working person.
Hostess.
That's correct. Alrighty, I'm going to go through the story. I'm going to try and do it quickly. I'm going to tell you about all the people in the show, all the characters.
All of them.
According to the, it's a Origin show, and if you look up Origin, they'll tell you that every character is interesting and a lot of other weird stuff about the show. So let's ignore that. But it is all about Charity Hope Valentine, who works in a dance hall as a hostess, as Zane mentioned earlier. So she dances with the gents for a few cents.
She dances a little, talks a little, swivels her hips a little.
She does a lot of little things. We also meet various men who she encounters during her little story and her she's basically looking for love. She wants to give love and be loved in return, I would say that's what I take from it.
Very Moulin Rouge.
Yes. Practical Moulin Rouge then?
Practically, it's the same story. So we start with the most of this show I absolutely adore, but the very beginning and the very end I find an odd framing for the show.
Yes.
But anywho, let's move on through it. So we start with Charity, who works in the dance hall, the Fandango Ballroom, and this is all set in New York City. But we first see her in Central Park, where she is meeting her boyfriend, Charlie. Charlie seems to be a little bit full of himself. And hang on, wait, I've completely lost it. He's very focused on himself. And essentially ends up stealing her handbag and pushing her into a lake. This is something that we're going to see happen at the end as well.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, I love to spoil the end right at the beginning. And then everybody dies, like in Les Mis. Hold out for that. But this,
maybe I haven't seen this show.
This sets up the idea that Charity sees the best in everybody and is constantly
being taken advantage of.
And it's just a very sort of clear cut. This is how she interacts with the world, essentially. She goes back to the ballroom and she's trying to convince herself and her friends who dance with her, namely Nikki and Helene. They're her two closest friends, but of course there are a whole bunch of other fancy ladies who dance in inverted commas for a living. She's trying to convince them that Charlie tried to save her, but instead ran off with her handbag accidentally.
That's right. Pushed her in the lake, grabbed for her to try to save her, but all he grabbed was her handbag, which happened to be full of her dowry, so all of her money.
Dowry, that's a fun word.
It is dowry.
Now, can I ask your opinion, Maureen?
Please.
Do you think that Charity believes that or is trying to make herself believe that?
I think it's great, we just did this scene today, so I can tell you this. I think she likes to convince herself that that is the truth, and that is kind of her life. She spins, she weaves, and creates her own version of how she sees the life, her life.
Right.
And that is how, that's the whole purpose of this show as well, is that we're seeing it through her eyes and her imagining of what the world is around her. So I think she truly does believe that, oh, he absolutely grabbed for me, but I fell in the lake. But she doesn't believe it so much that she tries to hunt him down and find her bag. She just kind of lets it go.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
in
yeah.
some small part, she absolutely
Don't ruin
knows.
The lie. I've yes. fixed this yes. in my mind, and we don't need to rewrite it now Correct. Because I've already done that.
That's all.
So the girls get to work. This is when we see Big Spender, the most well-known. Just gonna let that hang. You have to. the girls try and comfort Charity. This is most of this setup is setting up that hopeful nature of Charity and her positivity. Charity gives to every beggar who approaches her on the street until she realizes she has no money.
Aww. She is Charity.
That's yeah. right.
I guess it makes her feel better. You know, if you feel sad. Give money to charity for a musical project.
I literally have
Just
done that, though.
Throwing that out there. Oh, give it a go. Make you feel
it's
good.
It's so nice.
So she's wandering along the street after work, realizing that she's just given away the last of her money. And just then, film star Vittorio Vidal rushes out of the Pompeii Club in pursuit of his beautiful mistress, Ursula. It's a fabulous name. She refuses to go back inside. And so Vittorio takes Charity inside instead.
All I can see in my head is Ursula from The Little Mermaid, but like her tentacles moving really fast to get away from him. Great image.
So Charity ends up hanging out in the Pompeii Club with Vittorio Vidal, the famous movie star. Everybody else in the club doesn't know her, but it doesn't really matter because she's with the
Vittoria.
Most amazing guy in New York hanging out.
What
in the
that
fancy
scene
club.
Does do is set up the real distinction between Charity's class and everyone else around her. So super interesting scene in the show. It's great.
And Rich Man's Frug.
Correct.
It looks like it should be frog.
It does.
Okay.
It looks like
how
frog.
Do we read the children's book? Is it Groog or is it Grug?
It's Grug.
Exactly.
Anyway, moving on. So she's trying to distract him from talking about Ursula, and then they have a little dance. But Charity hasn't eaten anything since breakfast and she faints. So what happens now? Well, Vittorio takes her to his apartment to give her a snack. Wink, wink.
I think
sure.
It's very innocent between the two of them. It's Charity realizes he's well beyond her in class, I guess. And Vittorio is really enjoying the fact that she's just a normal woman who is, you know, tells him things truthfully and finally, I don't know, speaks up to him in a way that other women haven't.
Yeah, I guess so. the thing that you might expect is that Charity would be in awe of him and completely just...
Of course.
Unable to talk or speak or anything, but she is just so herself.
Yeah.
That, yeah, she has that different effect on him. So now lying on Vittoria's bed, she says she's no longer hungry when he brings in some num-nums.
I don't think that was necessary.
What? Num-nums? That's what it is. She admits she's a dance hall hostess and putting it down to the fickle finger of fate, which is one of her favorite expressions. Vittorio is struck by her humor and honesty, as you were saying. Starstruck, Charity asks for a signed photograph to prove that she really was in his apartment.
Then in true Fosse style.
She sings about it.
And he brings her out a hat and a cane.
Yeah.
Perfect for an excellent dance number. Thank you, Bob Fosse.
Yeah, thank you. Ursula arrives To apologize, and Charity is swiftly bundled into the closet and then later disposed of. I mean, she leaves. But not until she has had to listen to Vittoria and Ursula making up or making love.
And comedy ensues.
Yeah. which is fun times. The following morning, she's escorted from the room. And she heads back to the ballroom and she chats with the girls, but they're disappointed that Charity failed to get more out of the movie star. Oh, is he movie star? Did I just make that up? Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I did. Nikki announces that she's not going to remain in this job dancing for the rest of her life, and the girls all have a little sing-song slash conversation about what they could do if they had, you know, all the opportunity in the world.
Which is also a banger of a song.
Yeah.
Oh, such a good tune.
There's got to be something better than this. I love the one who is so excited about being a hat check girl. She's like, you know what I could do? I could be a hat check girl.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't have to dance. Yeah. I could just
– that's the satire and the comedy and all of this. Yeah. The jobs that they aspire to are jobs that other people would say, we want nothing to do with that.
Yeah. And then the boss comes in and basically sends them back to work. Charity decides to seek some cultural enlightenment at the YMHA, where she is stuck accidentally in a broken elevator with a shy tax accountant, Oscar Lindquist.
Just full of meat cutes, this.
Totally. It is, absolutely. Well, this is like, it's a little, you know, she meets guys and she thinks the best of them and then it goes
Something
happens and she moves on and does it again. So Oscar, you would say, is probably the romantic lead of the show.
Absolutely.
You know, Charity is meant to be.
In his dorky, fumbly, ridiculous kind of way.
Beautiful. He starts freaking out because he's claustrophobic, and Charity tries to calm him down. After helping him to overcome it, the pair are plunged into new panic when the lights stop working, and that is lights out, end of act one.
Boom.
Boom.
But what happens in the elevator?
Oh, my God.
I need to know.
Well,
luckily for you, there's an act two.
Act two opens with them being rescued after the elevator starts again. So I guess nothing much happens there.
I was worried.
If you left it intermission, wouldn't you be left hanging?
Yes. Hanging in an elevator. Oscar invites Charity to go to church with him. It's a very weird church, the Rhythm of Life church. This is a, hey, let's put a 1970s hippie number in there. And boy, is it a 1970s hippie number.
I was going to say, I love this song.
Everyone loves this song.
Like, yeah. I learned this song before I knew anything about musical theater. I had to, like, in grade 8, I think it was a singing assessment in music. Yeah.
This was the very first song I sung in choir, like an outside school choir when I was 9. And I fell in love with the song. And then when I was older, I was like, all right, let's have a look at what the real words are.
What? Anywho, we'll talk more about the Rhythm of Life when we do songs in the next section. But a police raid breaks up the church meeting, and traveling home on the subway, Oscar proposes that Charity goes on a date with him. He tries to guess Charity's job, deciding that she works in a bank. So, of course, Charity says, yes, of course, I do work in a bank, which is a total lie.
Charity.
As they part, Oscar kisses her hand and dubs her titular sweet Charity. So they hang out for a bit and they do some fun stuff. They've continued dating. I think there's still a lie hanging in the air there. Ooh. So Oscar and Charity getting to know one another, or sort of almost, except he doesn't know that she works in a dance hall. Oscar is the calm one when Charity is scared, scared that she is starting to depend on him. Once again, Charity loses her nerve about telling him that he works in the dance hall. As the crowd looks on, the couple kiss.
Oh, unnecessary.
Yeah.
Good sound effects, though.
Thank you. Thank you very much. On a slow night at the Fandango Ballroom, Charity loses the opportunity to snare one of the few customers to a new co-worker, Rosie. Oh, my God. Disgusted by the whole business, she quits. So she isn't a dance hall hostess anymore.
Correct.
No need to lie. She still doesn't work at a bank. Go get a job at a bank and it'll fix everything. So she wonders what the alternative might be to what she might do next. She sends a telegram to Oscar and asks to meet him at Barney's Chile Hacienda.
That sounds delicious.
It does, doesn't it?
Is that just like the house of chili? Because I'm in.
She chooses this moment to admit to him that she is a dance hall hostess, or at least was. And he says that he already knew because he followed her like a good stalker does and saw her at work.
What the fuck?
I don't think he frames it quite that way.
No, he doesn't. Yeah. He says,
oh, he kind of does. And then he says that he stayed to watch her for just a short while, just an hour.
Just long enough to imprint it on my mind.
Totally. But he doesn't care and he wants to marry her. Relieved and elated, Charity packs a suitcase on which is printed almost married. After a farewell party at the ballroom. Charity and Oscar walk in the park and Oscar announces that he can't go through with the wedding, saying he's unable to stop thinking about her with all those other men. eventually, he pushes her into the lake and runs off.
What?
that's an abbreviated version of the ending, but yes.
Yeah. Well, it's more of an... It's not so...
It's to do with Oscar.
Oscar's got some problems.
He does.
Yeah.
Yep.
But haven't we all? Haven't we all? He's very highly strung in his own special way. So here she is in the lake again at the end of the show. She takes a moment speaking directly to the audience and asks, did you ever have one of those days? Realizing that unlike Charlie, Oscar had not stolen her bag, she shrugs and reprises her opening dance. So we end up exactly where we started in this very strange, odd way.
That's one ending, because this is a show that has several endings.
Several endings. Mm. So there's also an interesting thing with fairies and stuff.
Yes, the angel that appears.
The angel that appears. Yes. There's also a version where it turns out like a sort of a TV show, happy ever after thing that went slightly wrong. So ending is very abrupt and odd, and it feels unsatisfactory to me as an audience member. Someone needs to fix it. Call up Neil Simon, whichever Neil Simon you like, and just
have one of them fix it.
I'm sure there's a Neil Simon in Brisbane.
I mean, sure. Let's not go with the traditional happy ending of they get married and live happily ever after. That's okay. But why does it have to get weird in the end?
Fosse? Is Fosse the answer?
Good question.
Fosse is always the answer.
I think Fosse's the answer.
So here's a description of the fairy one. Charity pulls herself out of the water. A good fairy appears and says to Charity, tonight it will all happen tonight. Charity is again overcome by hope and optimism until the fairy turns around. There is a sign on the fairy's back which reads, the good fairy, tonight at 8 p.m. on CBS.
I hate it.
And the whole audience looks at each other and goes, what? And then the house lights come up.
That is not the version that we're doing, just to be clear.
Okay.
Good.
Do you want to spoil your ending for the listeners? Do.
It's one of those, you know, you'll just.
We didn't rewrite anyone.
Take bets.
Take bets. What do you want to happen at the end of Sweet Charity? The open-ended question, but feel free to
I really, really enjoy the fact that they don't end up together. I think that's fine, that we have seen her journey and she really, you know, she's desperate to find love and she does find love and someone loves her back. And I think it's lovely that it doesn't get tied up with a neat little bow. I think that's fine. But I do think that there is a way of doing it that's potentially clever. I'm sorry, Neil Simon. I'm sorry.
I kind of like the cyclical nature of it and the kind of – the increment, well, because at the end it's incremental, kind of.
At least she didn't get her purse stolen.
Yeah,
this time.
Unlike Charlie, he didn't take the bag, so she still got her bag.
Yeah, and he actually did love her for a time, and she loved him, and that's new for her.
And so that's something new that she can cling on to go forward and do this whole thing again.
I'm all for a realistic ending.
Sure.
So it appears like you're the only one,
but
Miranda.
Has charity evolved, or has just the circumstance evolved?
I don't think the story is about charity evolving. I think the story is about charity being this kind of epitome of hope, and then the world that she has to hold on to this hope through.
It does give you this feeling at the end of, it's not like the classic, aw, isn't that nice? It's more like, oh, charity, come on. Like, it's a good kind of yearning feeling, I think, for her, like, because you're so on her side, you just want things to work out well for her. So, yes, look out for A Sweet Charity too.
Ooh.
The sequel.
The sequel where she finally gets a job in a bank and sings about it. And dances the fancy
and accidentally
dances.
Gives all the bank's money away to homeless people.
Yes.
Oh no.
We've done it. That's it.
I'm in shock. We should move on. Let's talk about songs. If they could see me. Now, I love that song. It's my favorite song. Is that song in Sweet Charity?
No, it's not.
Oh, worst ever. Yes, it is, Julie. Tell us about all the music.
Please. Okay, well, Act One starts with Miranda's favorite, the overture.
Mm. I love an overture.
You do love an overture. Closely followed by Charity's theme as sung by Oscar. I don't remember it.
No.
Why is Oscar singing Charity's theme?
That's also my question.
I must shuffle my papers to find out.
Shuffle louder. The audience can't hear it, Miranda.
Oh, dear.
You're right. You shuffled. You're on the same page now? No, we're on completely different pages. It's legitimately the second song in, Miranda. How are you having this much trouble finding it?
What?
Maybe it goes for like 30 seconds and it's barely a thing.
No.
If it's not ringing any bells for you, we're in trouble.
It's not a thing.
It's on Internet Broadway Database.
That face.
The second song is
amazing.
Actually called The Rescue, sung by Passersby.
Oh. I don't even have that as an
instrument.
What
Spender.
Is happening?
What
it's like.
Is.
Wait.
This is
have
the thing
you
with
looked
all...
up Sweet Charity or a completely different show?
I looked up Sour Charity.
Oh, my.
With all the revivals and different versions and the movie versions and everything, there are so many different scores to this, and it is fun juggling through to find the version.
Yeah, because just looking up now, because I've just looked up Wikipedia to compare it, and they are very different lists.
Yes.
All right. Well, I'll do the wiki.
Just stick to the bangers.
Yeah. All right. Well, then.
Just ignore the little in-betweeny.
If we ignore You Should See Yourself,
that,
which
we
you probably
can't ignore
shouldn't.
That. That's a fabulous number.
You come to your first big banger after that, which I think close to everyone would know.
Mm.
If they call themselves a musical theatre person, Patreon, listener to this podcast, you're going to know Big Spender.
Da-da. Bah,
bah, bah.
Except for Miranda, apparently.
Except for whatever song Miranda's singing.
No, stop doing that.
Is this like...
Whatever it is, it's terrible.
Is it... Okay, is this... Is this Mr. Toad's version of Big Spender?
I'm sorry. I was just trying to mask it. For licensing reasons.
12 seconds. You can do as much as you want in 12
seconds.
In
the right key, even.
What? We've never worried about the key before.
I always have.
Move on, Julie.
Then you have Charity's Soliloquy. And then your big, big dance number, The Rich Man's Fugue.
Correct, which comes in three parts, The Aloof, The Heavyweight, and The Big Finale.
I think my favorite part is...
The Heavyweight.
No, I think it's The Aloof. I think it's the beginning.
Yeah, the beginning is always the bit that I like the most.
I think I like watching The Aloof. I like listening to the second section. It's got a little bit more punch.
And then
most of the hair twirling happens in the third section, right?
Hair twirling. I do that move all the time and don't even think about it.
The helicopter.
Yeah, I'm like, ooh, ooh. If my friends could see me now, Charity. This is a march. Is it actually march?
A march.
Yeah.
No, this is when she's in Vittorio's apartment.
See, I've not seen it. I've just heard it a lot.
Yeah.
I think you're thinking of I'm a brass band,
which
I'm a heart,
yes,
which happens later. The songs themselves in form and the way they're framed in the show are almost identical.
Two.
I find. Mm. If They Could See Me Now and oh, Brass Band.
Yeah.
Which isn't called Brass Band. What's it called?
It's I'm a Brass, brass Band.
It's called I'm a Brass Band. Brass Band.
Followed by Too Many Tomorrows, sung by Victoria. That, oh, no, not Vic. Just V. Victoria.
Victoria.
Isn't that a coffee? I'm pretty sure that's a coffee. Sure. I think it is. Victoria. Delicious.
Coffee anyway. Brand.
I'll take either. There's got to be something better than this.
Bum, bum.
That fun song.
Might be my favorite song in the show. In a show of a lot of great songs, I think that's my favorite one to
watch.
It's
my second favorite.
Oh.
Rhythm of Life's definitely my favorite. But not the version I listened to the other day. Anyway, I'll talk about that in a second. And then the last song of Act One, I'm the Bravest Individual, which I listened to half of the other day and then skipped through. I was like, I can't.
Classic Julie.
Can't do the whole thing, guys.
I can listen to part of every song of the show.
This is or Oscar's just part of a shining show. Moment. He's just overcome his great fear.
And he's learning too with Charity's assistance.
Yes.
And I'm meh about it. Anyway, Act Two, we begin with The Rhythm of Life. So,
it is apparently a powerful beat.
It puts a tingle in your fingers.
And a tingle in your feet.
Mm-hmm. In two places. Two places tingles. Jeez.
Oh, also the bedroom and the street.
Tingles.
Mm. Mm, powerful
the rhythm is in the bedroom and the street.
Yeah, there you go.
You'll find.
Mm.
I think you'll find it.
There's so much going on in that song.
So much.
If you haven't heard it, none of that banter would have made any sense.
I decided to shake things up. And when I'm like, I'm going to refamiliarize myself with the music from Sweet Charity, I decided to do it with the Christina Applegate version.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, the rhythm of life in that one, I don't love.
Mm.
That's too different. 2005 revive.
Oh, yeah. No. I did not appreciate the changes that were made.
All right.
You're a purist.
I am a purist.
She wasn't in the show for a long time because she broke a foot or something, didn't she?
Yeah, that's correct.
And we're rumoured to have asked Britney Spears to take over from her, but Britney said no.
I remember that because Britney was doing Vegas at the time.
Yeah.
I love me some Britney, but not as Charity.
No, she was not available to play Charity.
Would have gone to see it.
I mean, yeah.
Had the chickens been cheap.
But would she have sung live?
Probably.
Maybe. Anyway.
Not at that point.
So we have experienced the rhythm of said life.
So now we feel a different song. What am I looking at? Baby Dream Your Dream.
Mm.
Nikki and Helene. It would be fun to be Nikki and Helene. They get a fair bit to do.
They do.
Great roles.
I'd probably put that over Charity on my own list.
Yeah.
They sort of pop in, deliver sass, sing a great song, sass out.
Sass out.
Yep.
Our kind of dream roles.
Yes. Yeah.
Friendship bracelet making in the back. Pop on. Blow great it away.
Yeah. And they
back
get to
friendship
do
bracelets.
And they get to do Big Spender as well. So
oh, heck yes.
Ticking all the boxes.
Oh, yeah. Then we have Sweet Charity, sung by Oscar. Where Am I Going? By Charity.
Where are you going?
Nowhere until about 11 o'clock when we finish this.
Okay.
I'm a brass band. There you go.
I'm a brass band. I'm a harpsichord.
You really do know all the songs.
See, I'm doing all the instrumental parts. That's why you don't understand.
I have multiple questions about that song. One, is a harpsichord in a brass band?
Oh, valid question.
No, she's just saying she's all of those things.
Okay.
I'm a brass band and a harpsichord and
a clarinet.
And what sound did you think a clarinet made again? Just checking.
have you ever heard a clarinet?
I used to play the clarinet.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the sound it made. It's why she still
that's
plays
why she's
it. Hashtag mainly plays the clarinet. And then the last being I love to cry at weddings.
I love to cry at weddings.
There are.
It sounds like it should be in My Fair Lady. That's what it
sounds like. It has a totally different feel to everything else in Sweet Charity, for sure. It's a bit of a hoedown.
A hoedown?
It is.
And now I'm trying
it's
to.
Like a bunch of cockneys.
Do you know what it is?
Know?
It's the farmer and the cowman from Oklahoma. That is totally the feel.
There are a lot of recordings. And I have the hiccups.
Ooh,
So you've got the 66 original Broadway cast recording. You've got the film soundtrack recording. You've got the 86th Broadway cast recording, and that is Debbie Allen and B.B. Newirth.
B.B.
And then you've got the first complete recording of the show conducted by Martin Yates. This version includes the complete score with bonus tracks from the film score.
Bonus tracks.
And then the 2005, which is the one that I listened to, Christina Applegate and Dennis O'Hare. I would say any other one apart from that one would be just fine.
It's a strong opinion you've got there.
I am a fan of Shirley MacLaine's Charity,
yeah,
personally.
Absolutely.
But on the whole, I think the original soundtrack is the...
is the winner.
Is the
listen. Is the cream, is it?
Yeah, I think so.
Nice.
That is my opinion, my humble opinion.
I don't think there's, like, apart from the fact that I said I skipped half of one song, there's not a lot of skipping in Sweet Charity.
No.
They're all really strong songs. And what they do when they – it's really a pretty classic layout for a musical. So where they have – they're like, I'll have a little serious ballad. Guess what comes next? A banger. And that's how I need my musicals to be structured. Calm ballad, banger.
And it is a star vehicle showing that when Charity sings and dances, she is the center stage
queen.
But as far as star vehicle shows go, it's not only her, and it's not like all the good material was given to her and, you know, hardly anyone else got anything else. Like I said, the other two numbers that her friends do in the ballroom are fantastic. And a lot of the chorus numbers are really, really great too. I think the interesting thing about the way the songs are handed out and how that marries with the point of the show and the plot and the character development is that the men don't sing much and they don't have particularly interesting songs.
Well, the only real male heavy song is Rhythm of Life.
And that's even, not one of the romantic interests.
No, not at all.
And Vittorio's song.
So Vittorio gets a like wah 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 song, and
Oscar singing
and
Sweet Charity.
And Oscar gets a wah 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 song.
Yeah, it's true.
But
the chicks get the bangers.
Yeah, they get all the good shit. I'm sorry, I've just sworn on the podcast. We'll take a break while I wash my mouth out with a bar of soap.
And then some Tiger Balm.
Oh, gosh, that'll burn. And then we'll come back and talk some more. So we have already mentioned a few of the charities who have graced the stage and, of course, the movie with Shirley MacLaine. But who else has been in the show, Zane?
Okay. So the original production, Gwen Verdon. Is the original charity.
Indeed.
And probably a strong contender for my favourite charity.
Well, she'd want to be. The role was literally written for her.
Good. I'm glad it was. So in her production, John McMartin, Helen Gallagher, Thelma Oliver, James Luisi, Arnold Soboloff, Sharon Ritchie and Barbara Sharma. I don't know any of those people.
Nope.
Good. I'm glad we're all in the
We're all in this together.
But an Australian production commenced in 67.
What?
Yes.
Her Majesty's Theatre.
We got it super early, which was so unusual for us. And it's still unusual for us.
With Nancy
never
Hayes.
Happened again.
As Charity.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Good old Nance.
How friend of the show, good? Nancy Hayes. My personal friend, Nancy Hayes.
And then it went to the West End, Prince of Wales Theatre in October 67.
Take that, London.
And it ran.
We had it first.
Well, it doesn't say how long it ran in Australia, but it ran for 476 performances in the West End.
Can I just point out, sorry, let's go back to Nancy Hayes for a second.
Yeah.
The amazing thing about that and why that was a landmark thing in Australia was it was at a time when we were importing shows and importing stars. Every single show we
brought over
that was produced was a reproduced production usually from London. It would go there first and then come here, but occasionally from Broadway. And we would import stars, mostly from England. And this was a very rare occasion and where they
the producers put in an Australian in a show and a female at that, like the first
big
name to do this. She wasn't a big name yet, really. I mean, in the scheme of how she's recognizable in the industry now. And it was a woman first, and it was this role, which was so perfect for her skill set at the time. Like she really was the, dare I say it, slightly shorter Gwen Verdon of Australia. but it's these tradition in Australia of the strong singer-dancer has continued ever since. And it's something that we have a reputation worldwide as having strength in producing fantastic singer dancers. And so, it really was landmark casting, and it did start something, definitely started something for Nancy Hayes, but it started something in Australia that proved that a show could do well and make a star out of a local performer instead of having to bring in somebody who had done the role overseas.
Dear Broadway. Please relearn that lesson.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, this is something that has been up for discussion in Australia a lot in the last couple of years, because there have been, since all of that happened, there have been a lot of laws put in place and guidelines for producers that require them to use local talent. Mm. And that has been relaxed recently. Mm. And the MEAA and various unions have definitely made it known that they're not happy with that situation. And there's a big movement at the moment in Australia, for those of you who are listening elsewhere, to, you know, go back to recognizing that we can create wonderful talent here at home.
Amen.
Let's move on. You men continue your talking now.
Okay. Well, so in the West End, it was Juliet Prowse and succeeded by Gretchen Weiler. So in the 86 revival, we had Debbie Allen as Charity.
Debbie Allen.
B.B. Newirth as Nikki. Alison Williams as Helene.
B.B. Newirth wasn't Charity.
She was not Charity. She was Nikki.
Every time I've heard her name in relation to this, I just assumed that she played Charity.
No. So when Allen left, Anne Reinking took over. That has come up on the podcast a couple of times before. Because she has been Coco over here, Good Time Charlie, Chorus Line, Chicago. So she's worked from 60, well, from this would have been, this is 86, so she's worked from 69 right through until now, and Ryan King. And Michael Rupert as Oscar. So there was a benefit concert in 98, which had Cheetah Rivera, B.B. Newirth, Donna McKechnie, and Debbie Allen.
Oh, my God.
And that was Debbie Allen's last public stage performance. And
in my head, I'm just now imagining her with a stage in her bedroom being like amazing, just putting on shows for herself.
Private performance.
Yeah, that's a private performance.
Look, when I have enough money to do whatever I want, I'll definitely have a stage in my house.
You basically do. You have a landing that I could use as a stage.
A very small stage with no wing space. Very small concert.
I don't need a lot.
And also got Gwen Verdon back in as Charity. So that was just, I think it was an all-star fully stage, one night only concert.
And what a concert.
What a concert. Like, yeah. So in 2005 we have Christina Applegate starring as Charity. So that also included Dennis O'Hare and Ernie Sabella. It doesn't mention the ladies who were Nikki and Helene in that one, which is unfortunate because those are that's honestly probably my favorite roles in the whole show. I find them incredibly charming. So in 2009 London Revival, Tamsin Outhwaite as Charity, and Josefina Gabrielle played both Nikki and Ursula when Tiffany Grace played Helene. So they kind of jumped around a little bit. And there's 2014 Sydney Australian tour.
So, what's the name with the two last names?
Verity Hunt Ballard.
That's the one.
At the Hayes Theatre.
She went on, was she Mary Poppins? Yes. Am I imagining that?
I believe you're correct.
See, that seems to me an odd combination. I have trouble picturing in my mind the same person playing Mary Poppins and Sweet Charity.
I think that that's a really interesting career progression, but I think that they could fit together.
I think it's because I see Sweet Charity so strongly as a dancer's role.
Fair enough. Yeah, yeah.
And I don't see that at all in Mary Poppins. Unless you count sliding down the
balustrade. And to hold that amazing turnout for the whole show. For sure. She's got to be a ballerina.
Yes.
But it had Martin Cruz as Charlie, Vittorio, and Oscar.
That is an interesting choice that I'm not mad about.
Yeah. I think that's really interesting, specifically because of the cyclical nature of the show.
Yeah.
Here he is again. Here he is again.
Yeah. 2016 Off-Broadway. Directed by Lee Silverman, the cast stars Sutton Foster as Charity Hope Valentine.
Have to admit that she would be a wonderful Sweet Charity. Don't roll your eyes, Julie Eisentrager.
I don't know.
Julie, roll your eyes and Traeger.
I don't know. I just don't see her as sweet, maybe. That's Sutton the problem. Foster. I think she's got a fair amount of sass in her.
But she can just turn the sass off. Like
I don't know. I always see Sutton Foster as Sutton Foster.
I don't know. I really enjoyed her Violet.
Think about Little Women, Sutton Foster. Where there's
you're not helping yourself at all.
A lot of strength, but never mind. Okay.
Never mind. And then Nikki and Helene as Marit. Gebra Michael, I think that's how you pronounce it. I apologize if it is not.
Maybe it's just
you're just like putting random.
GHEBREMICHAEL.
Oh my God, do it again.
Galafragilistic.
That was fun.
And Emily Padgett as Helene. And that's up till now. So that was 2016 Off-Broadway. So
wasn't there also an Australian production with Kelly Abbey, a Sweet Charity too?
Kelly
Abbey. Yeah,
let's just nod and smile. Maybe
did she take over on the Australian tour?
Yeah, perhaps she did.
I didn't see her name pop up, but it could just be that.
Kelly Abbey, if you're listening, I see you. I hear you.
Well, let us in, write in. We'd love to find out more.
Write in, Kelly.
Well, anyone who saw
send
the production.
Send a carrier pigeon.
Kelly. Yes, Kelly. Kelly Abbey came to see me in the hospital when I was a baby.
Aww.
Just saying. I bet she wouldn't recognize me now. If she could see me now, okay. She'd be like, who are you?
I think it's time to move on.
I will decide when it's time to move on, Zane C. Weber. You may now move on. Okie dokie, we're going to talk Dreamcast. Who is Dream Sweet Charity? Carolina Connor has already played this role.
I would be surprised if she hadn't, but
I see her more as a Nikki for sure.
Yeah, I think definitely as a Nikki. And same for my Audra. My Audra is as a Helene.
They were going to say his daddy, but okay.
Pardon? Sure. I think she could do it.
Yeah, I would love to see a female daddy.
Cast Audra's daddy. That'd be great.
I did.
Thank you. Honestly, I think my perfect one, she's aging out of it now, but Sutton, I think this is her role. The singer-dancer.
Julie disagrees with a heavy sigh.
Are you going to put Zac Efron as Sweet Charity?
No, I'm going to put him as Daddy.
No, Vittorio.
Oh, yes, Daddy.
Vittorio Vidal.
No, Charlie, guys.
Think about him. No.
He deserves the song.
Think about him singing Rhythm of Life, Miranda. Yeah.
Many shirts he could take off in that one song.
Well, traditionally, does he not wear like a hairy vest and no shirt beneath?
Does he?
Yes.
A hairy vest.
You're the one telling this hairy story.
The movie, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
Oh, no, I know what you mean now.
He doesn't wear like a vest of chest hair.
Well, that's what I was thinking.
That's where I went too. And I've seen the movie.
That's where I went first and then went, oh, she can't be talking about that.
No. No, it's just a fur vest. Not unlike the vest in The Simpsons.
Yes, made of real gorilla chest. Vest.
Oh man, that's so
who would you put as As charity.
As charity?
Who's your charity?
Oh, Betsy Wolf.
Oh, yeah. Is she dancer?
She's now. Do you get to be on Broadway and not be a triple threat, really, these days?
I mean, but there's a difference between being a dancer and being able to dance.
Oh, the things I have to Google for you, honestly.
Honestly.
Like Kristen Chenoweth can dance, but she's not a dancer.
Mm. True story, true story. Betsy Wolf, I want to say early life and education.
Talk amongst yourselves while Julie Google.
Just all tap dancing.
Yeah, I don't think she can dance.
But don't matter. So moving on, who do we know who can dance?
I mean, I'm pretty locked in on my son.
Me. I can dance.
You can dance.
I think I've also aged out of it now. But
I mean, isn't this the role
I would
that
have loved to have played charity.
I think everyone would love to have played charity. Yeah. I think it's one of those roles that, yeah, everyone can see themselves in the
yes.
Role.
Yeah.
I'll show.
I'm not particularly drawn to the role.
What? You got to be kidding. It's not on my list either, Zane. So
which of the gents would you cast yourself as?
Daddy.
Daddy, you've got the rhythm of life.
Yeah.
The rhythm
if
of,
not Daddy,
rhythm
then Vittorio. I'm just not mean enough to play a Charlie.
Charlie's barely in the show.
Then I'll play Charlie.
He's a faceless shadow representation of a man.
Yes.
Is what he is.
Yes, he is. I like the idea of casting the three, dare I say, love interests with the same actor.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind Zac Efron as
great
playing all
as
three.
All three.
Yeah.
Zac Efron as all three.
Sorry. I'm just shocked he agreed to cast him in something and then tripled the idea.
Look, sometimes I don't cast him out.
This is Sweet Charity, the one-man show.
The one-man show.
Every role performed by Zac Efron.
Neil Patrick Harris doing the three of them.
Yeah.
I would find really interesting.
I can see him as Oscar totally. Vittorio, he'd have to convince me.
Okay. All right.
I'd have to convince Maureen.
Yep.
Have to convince.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Awards, Neil Patrick Harris.
Mm-hmm.
Vittorio Vidal.
Mm-hmm.
She's unconvinced, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm unconvinced. But Neil, come and see me for an audition.
Feel free to audition.
Change my mind.
Mr. Patrick Harris. Anyone else we want to throw in there? Any more daddies? Any more girls? Any more gents? Are we done here?
Yeah, like I kind of like the idea of an unknown taking on charity.
Yeah.
Yeah, rather than like stunt casting, because it is a role that kind of lends itself to being to having a name brought in to sell the show.
Yeah.
Christina Applegate, but also like Nancy Hayes was created through that show.
Yeah. I would have killed to see her in that role.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there are other roles such as Daddy that you can put a name in. To kind
that's
of get that
you
pull.
Use you. Yeah.
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 Whoever Charity is, whoever's dream casting is, as long as she is very talented, because this is a big role. She's a big sing. She's a big character.
Yeah.
Every
and
line
this is,
in the show.
I can imagine an exhausting
yeah.
Eight
show.
Shows a week
yeah.
staring
oh, yeah.
down the battle would yeah. be intimidating.
Totally.
To say the least. Mm.
Sings, she dances, she cries, she laughs.
She loves and she has eternal hope.
But as Daddy Tay Diggs, I'd love Tay Diggs as Daddy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, Daddy.
Okay. Well, sounds like we've got the thing cast. Let's talk top fives. All right. What top five lists are we putting Sweet Charity on? I'm going to start with top five star vehicles.
Yep.
Mm.
I think
that role.
Top five number of hit songs.
That's what I was going to say.
Hit songs.
Because there are a number of this that you would know outside of, that people outside of musical theatre would know.
Or how about
they would
this?
Know Big Spender.
Top five shows that dance schools have used many songs for their concerts.
top five prostitutes.
The dance hall hostesses, please.
Yeah, prostitutes.
would you put it top five Fosse?
I certainly
Absolutely.
Would.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think particularly the inclusion of Big Spender and Rich Man's Frug
yeah.
make it so iconically Fosse that it sits up there with Chicago mm-hmm. in Fosse land.
Yeah. Now I want to put Rhythm of Life and I don't know how to phrase it. Top five show-stopping numbers, like that are outside of the show as a whole.
I'm going to veto that. I'm sorry. I know you and Julia love this it. Number, but I am not a huge fan of the Rhythm of Life.
Miranda no, okay. It's not the quality of the song.
You don't have a tingle in your fingers. I don't have a tingle in my fingers.
It's how separate it is to the rest of the show. If you took it out of the show, they could – They don't really experience anything new there.
Like it's the just... fact that I thought it was from Hair for at least a good 5 years.
Because I think Too Darn Hot is another one of these numbers where it doesn't intrinsically mean anything to the show. It's just a bit more like world building of the show.
Yeah.
So I think it's a number that you can take out but is still really quality. So it's a
so
weird.
So what is your top five?
Well, that's how, like I wanted to say show stopping is that, but you also have really good songs that are in there as well. So songs that don't belong in the show, but in a good way.
Top five songs that don't belong in the show in a good way. Rhythm of Life.
Songs that could be transplanted into another show.
Mm, for sure. Standalone songs.
Yeah.
Just replace... The Wizard and I in Wicked with the Rhythm of Life.
Seamless. No one would know. No, super bit. Subtle.
Whatever it is they're doing in the Oz Does Ballroom, you could put Rhythm of Life.
Instead of Dancing Through Life?
Yeah.
It's the Rhythm of Dancing Through
Life.
Of Life.
Sure.
All right. I'll let you have your strangely long-winded, confusing
Thank
top
you.
Five.
That's my specialty.
But we're done with you now.
All right.
No more Rhythm of Life in the top five. I have laid down the law. Top five.
Would you put this top five female-led shows?
Yes.
Yeah, surely.
Oh, that's a big list.
It is a big
list.
It's
a big list.
But
Ish. Not that big, I guess.
But strangely, I wouldn't call it, you know, I wouldn't think of it as empowering, like it's not a feminist show. Then I don't know. Charity has this thing of she's so positive and hopeful and delightful, but she doesn't have a lot of strength, or you know, she doesn't stand up for herself very much, and
she depends on men a lot.
Yeah,
her job depends on men.
Mm.
So unlike what we think of as strong female shows now,
yeah. Well, she's not
even
a strong
like Wicked,
female character.
I mean, they're female characters that are really driven, and she's
I think
strangely not.
As in, it's a show that is a strong role for a woman to play, as in to be cast in that role. But what you're saying is the actual character is not necessarily.
Well, that's like Jo from Little Women is struggles to break out of that the idea of femininity, whereas Sweet Charity's whole journey is trying to buy into that so as much as Joe is trying to break
Maybe
out.
Maybe you're just saying musicals with a fair bit to do for the female lead.
Boom shakalaka.
Busy
done.
Shows for the lady lead.
Busy shows.
I mean, this and a chorus line, top five dance shows, is that?
I would definitely put it top five dance shows.
Mm. Did you say this and chorus line?
Yeah.
Roles for dancers.
Yeah.
Cats.
Ooh, never say that again.
I'm sorry.
It gets
it's
on
dead.
The top five of nothing. Top five most killed shows.
Wow.
Not Sweet Charity. Cats, just to be really clear.
Yeah.
Any more top fives we're throwing out there? Top fives, anybody, anybody?
I think Big Spender deserves to be
on its own top five.
Well, I think pop songs from musicals, I think, because this has been released and re-released by people throughout the years, and it's...
It has?
Yeah. Because I can't think of many other songs from musicals that have been released as pop songs, or at least on the charts, as songs in their own right.
There were a lot in the 50s and 60s.
Grease. Many from Grease.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
What about when Gwen Stefani decided she'd take a crack at Rich Man?
All right, I think we're out of lists.
Okay, we're done. We're done. We're moving on. All right, we're going to talk about the lessons we've learned and then we're going to wrap this sucker up. Okay, what has Sweet Charity taught us all?
Never go on a date next to a lake.
Do not stand on the bridge with your handbag waiting to be pushed in.
Always stay at least 10 metres from the water's edge.
That's a fair way from the water's edge.
That is.
Yeah. I don't want to end up in the water.
I know, but you also can't, like, see the water.
Fine. If that's the price I have to pay.
Yeah. Yeah. I really struggle with this because I don't see Charity learn. I don't see her evolve, like we were talking about this before.
And you don't see her teach much either. Her and Oscar have a little bit of a, like, she's helping him open up a little bit, but you don't see him specifically gain from that relationship at the end of the show, because he kind of, like, reverts and runs away. But I think there is, like, Charity isn't an unhappy person. You don't see her being punished for being happy. So if she's happy, then why do you want to destroy that by saying you shouldn't be like Charity? So I think she does that kind of indefatigable positivity.
It's almost frustrating. It's that feeling of watching it or listening to it, seeing it, you just think, oh, come on, Charity, like, get it together. Come on, sort your life out. But at the same time, she's just so incredibly charming and sweet and endlessly positive that you can't help but be led along this journey with her.
I just learned that infatigable is a word.
Indefatigable.
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 Fatigable.
Indefatigable.
Any lessons, ladies? So we just got to look at each other across
that
the table
one?
Weirdly.
Personally, I learned a lot about Fosse, a lot about style, a lot about jazz, and I learned that you shouldn't just pop your cork for
every guy you see.
Oh, stop. That's what I've been doing wrong.
Popping your cork, Julie.
I mean, I feel that that's literally what Charity does, though.
Literally?
She pops her cork.
She
pops her
every
cork for every guy she meets.
Literally, though.
I mean,
Has she got a cork?
I think if she had a bottle of champagne to share with every man who paid attention to her, she would.
You make sense.
She would pop that cork.
All right, I can see.
Okay.
I think if you take the sexual nature out of this and who Charity is, I think there is a lot about her as a character that I think is beautiful. And I think it's that positivity and optimism is just gorgeous. Gorgeous. And I think I know people personally who are like that. And there's someone who you really want to be around. They make you feel good. And I think in a tired, jaded old world, it's really nice to see people who are like that.
And I think that is sweet. The don't lesson the, in the show, in that she doesn't suffer for it.
Yeah.
Don't so, let the world get you down.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think though she's not a great role model in how the choices she makes in her lives.
Well, I would like to think in the sequel where she gets a job at the bank and her whole life changes, that at some point that hope pays off for her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well,
but you don't
thing.
See it happen, so you don't
well,
get
that's the
frustrating
nature
of, you know, she was hopeful and it didn't work out, and she was hopeful and it didn't work out, and she was hopeful and then it did work out. Congratulations,
well, when
Charity.
I have seen the show, I haven't left depressed for her. I've always been like, well, okay, well, she's going to go on, have a lot more fun and adventures, and hopefully she'll get something someday.
And I think because the show is presented through Charity's eyes and through her own telling of this story, that the way she tells it is so ridiculous and fantastical. The characters that are in the Fandango ballroom just don't exist in the real world. I think it's incredible. And the Pompeii Club too, that I think that her perception of the world is really cool.
Yeah.
I think that's great. She looks at the world in a totally Charity way. And I think that's definitely a nice takeaway.
Mm.
Yeah. See the best in everyone.
Totally.
Even if it doesn't pay off for you.
And honestly, if you don't
even
relate
you don't
to Charity as a character,
it.
You still have Nikki and Helene.
Who keep you grounded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who you can attach to.
Yeah. I guess looking at those two characters and even Charity to a certain extent, there's something to be said for recognizing that everyone's aspirations are different. Mm. Everyone starts in a different place and ends up in a different place. Mm. And it might not be something you think a lot of, but it might mean a lot to them. Mm-hmm. Maybe. Throwing Maybe. That out there. Learn that lesson.
Well, we all have goals and things that we aspire to and that we want. And Charity just wants
to be a hatchet girl.
Charity wants to love and be loved in return.
Don't we all?
Well, things just got real.
Really real. No. Any other lessons that we've learned from the darling, sweet Charity? Are you a brass band?
I think all it takes to start a cult is a catchy song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a hairy vest, apparently.
Oh, they did. They did get, you know, they all got presumably arrested by the police who raided
the church. They got broken up. They'll just meet up under another bridge.
That's right.
And continue with the rhythm of life.
Yeah.
Okay, well, if we've wrapped it up, we've learned a lot about positivity and hope. And sweet Charity. Now, let's learn a little bit about where you can see your local production of Sweet Charity anytime soon if you're in the Brisbane area.
Absolutely. Presented by Understudy Productions and performing at the gorgeous Brisbane Powerhouse. And that is beginning shows on the 24th of January to the 10th of February. So
soon.
Very soon. Yeah.
Very soon.
Come along, check out the website, sweetcharitymusical.com, where you can get tickets. It's going to be a laugh. And wouldn't you like to have fun?
Fun.
Thanks for joining me on that journey.
Beautiful. Thank you, Maureen.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me. My very first time. Thanks for popping my cork.
Ooh.
Ow.
Gosh, the references are just coming fast and boom. If you would like to find out a little bit more about some other shows and some other lessons we've learned, you can check out our entire back catalogue and, of course, everything coming your way soon at our home on the web, thatsnotcanonproductions.com/MTMEIK. And you can check out any of the multitude of other podcasts on the network, including a few that feature Julie Eisentrager or myself, Miranda Selwood, and about 10,000 that feature Zane C. Weber in various forms.
And it's only like 10,000.
You can catch musicals on Twitter at Musicals Teach Me, on Facebook, search Musicals Taught Me Everything I Know. If you would like to send us a lengthy email, perhaps detailing how much you love Zac Efron and how much you want to see him in all of the roles in Sweet Charity, you can send that to musicalstaughtmepodcast@gmail.com. If you haven't already, please subscribe, rate and review us on iTunes or whatever podcast chart you are using, and don't forget to tell your friends because we love new friends here at Musicals.
And what did we say at the start? If there was 1,000
Patreons. So if you want to contribute a couple dollars a month at patreon.com/musicals taught me everything I know, and eventually when we have enough of you all gathered together and contributing to this wonderful cause, Zane will do just a bunch of weird stuff for you.
At 250, I sing a song. At 500, I sing a rap, or I rap a rap.
Mm-hmm. And rappity at rap, rap, rap.
1,000, I dance.
Dance the Necronomicon.
And what did we promise today that I can't remember already?
This is really bittersweet for me.
There was something at the start. If you remember what it is, please tweet us or Facebook us, PM us, post, send
an email.
Yeah,
we love interacting with people.
We do love to interact with people. And if you check us out on Facebook, you'll get regular interesting things, including memes and cats jokes from Julie.
And polls.
Usually from Julie, sometimes from Zane.
True.
Yeah. So do that. Enjoy your life. Stay positive. This has been another message from Miranda Selwood.
Julie Eisentrager.
And Zane C. Weber.
Thank you for listening to Musicals Taught Me Everything I Know. And thank you once again to Maureen Bauer for coming to share Sweet Charity with us.
My pleasure. Disappearing in a haze of glitter and smoke and fireworks. Goodbye.
Boom.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.